orderlies, coming in front, so please pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, thanks everybody for coming out tonight.
Yes, I'll call a roll. Chairman Weber?
Present.
Vice Chair Erica Morgan, present. And Tammy Beeden, present.
All right, do we have any meeting minutes from our last budget meeting that are still in work?
I didn't see them.
I neither, so. There's those meeting minutes at our next meeting.
Chairman Weber, I'll make one little stop here. Just for the record, the agenda has the wrong chair people on this budget committee on this list I noticed. That was why I stopped.
Okay. Make note of that and make sure that gets cleared up for our next agenda. Okay, so we'll move on to item number one. This is an opportunity for public comment on topics in this committee's scope or on agenda items. If you'd like to address the committee, at this time you're welcome to come up, state your name, and share your thoughts. Is there anybody that would like to speak? Rob?
Thanks.
Brock Beatty, Black Diamond. This is the Finance Committee, and so I'm just curious, and maybe you can talk about it. This isn't one of the items on the agenda, but I'm just curious, as you go through the books and you get the information that was requested for you guys to get last meeting, have you found anything about where we are after the first quarter of 2016 as far as percentages of funds being spent and percentages of funds being left over? And do you feel that at this point that the city is a quarter into the budget, or are we past a quarter or less than? Do we look good financially? I'm just a couple of those questions that you guys should be finding out, that maybe you can clarify for the public where we're at in those kind of things, like specific budgets or specific sections of the budget, or, you know, when you drill down into the different funds, are there some that are pretty extensively over, or and what have you found? So I'm just curious if you can cover that as a extra item or whatever, that'd be great. Thanks.
Brock, thanks a lot for that question. We'll be illuminating a little bit next to that subject, and you'll start to get the idea, I think, as we go along here. Do you have anything you want to say, Chairman Weber, at this time?
I do not.
Okay.
Anything for you? Okay, so we're going to move on to our second item. This is a discussion of Resolution 16-1074, authorizing a grant agreement with the Department of Ecology for the 2017 stormwater capacity grant. Okay, so this is on our agenda. It's a background, this was originally referred to the Growth Management Committee. It also has been referred to this committee since it does touch on both committees. Let's see. Sorry, I got lots of notes and papers, so.
While you look, Chairman Weber?
Yes.
While you're looking, why don't I just have a few introductory thoughts of my own? It's one of the things that I've seen a lot in the various write-ups that people have had about this is that this is free grant money. And I don't think I need to remind any of these practical people in this room that there's no free lunch. No money is free. All grant money was put in place by our citizens via their taxes that went up the line to the county, to the state, and to the federal government. Grants are a way for those governments to redistribute and share the money. There's probably a lot of reasons that they do it. Probably the main reason they do it is more or less political, so someone gets some credit for redistributing our money back to us. I mean, let's be real about this. But there's also another practical thing that happens because of that, and that is that it makes it possible for like the umbrella governments to maybe where there's real need in smaller communities who are less wealthy to just spruce them up a little bit to bring their level up. I mean, it's redistribution of wealth anyway when you look at it. I won't say that I'm for that or against it, but I think probably in most of the things, like especially something like stormwater grant, that's probably a benefit for everybody. It's kind of like, you know, because I'm on the health, in the, from the health field, so I always bring it back to that. So we don't want people running around with communicable diseases passing them around to everybody. It ought to be a lot simpler and better to take care of the sick people right away. Are you ready?
Sure.
Move on? Or yeah, have well, anything else? Or?
Yeah, I've got.
Okay. Okay.
One of the reasons I mentioned that this has been referred to both committees, it also has to be voted out of both committees as well, or passed out of both committees before it can go on the council agenda. When we first started looking at the budget for this item, there's a lump sum in the budget. It's on page 76 under Stormwater Capital Fund 410. And what I noticed is it's $50,000 in there, but there's no specifics to what it should be used for other than just general stormwater improvements. So I know one of the things we'd like to see done is have some specifics put in the budget to know that this money gets spent where it needs to get spent. I know the Growth Management Committee is wanting to set aside half of the grant in order to fully implement the latest stormwater design and update the manual and code. And that's going to help allow us to use the best science available and get us up to speed where we should be instead of using the old stuff. And it'll help get our municipal code in line and also do some staff training as well. So it's a good deal all the way around. I do have an email I exchanged with Mayor Benson. This is dated Wednesday, March 30th, 2016. The subject is Resolution 16-1074, Stormwater Capacity Grant. Hello, Mayor Benson. Based on the committee's work so far, I believe it would be prudent to amend budget to ensure that an adequate portion of the stormwater capacity grant goes to updating our code to the latest and best stormwater science and adopting the 2012 stormwater manual. The council should not accept the grant until the budget reflects this commitment. I therefore request that a budget amendment be drafted for consideration by the council. Today, the budget simply puts the $50,000 grant into the stormwater capital fund with no specifications on how it must be spent. The amendment should set aside up to $25,000 be used for updating the code and adopting the latest stormwater manual. And her reply was that, "I've answered this question in the past and you never brought it up at your meetings. We do not get the money up front. We spend the money and ask to get reimbursed. The Department of Ecology is in charge of administering this grant, not the city or the council. If we send the grant back without council approval, DOE could likely withdraw the grant, which means in the future we could be ineligible for additional grants. We are in the process of adopting the 2012 Stormwater Manual and it should be complete before year end. I also send you a list of the items that the grant was approved for. It was in the original council packet. You can look it up." So, so to address that, it didn't answer my question about budgeting specifics. I feel that we can still, you know, even though the DOE is giving us the money, I think if we, what we do with our budget and how it's specified, I think that's what's important. There's no intention of wanting to give this money back. I mean, you know, like Councilmember Morgan mentioned, it's not free money, it is grant money, so it needs to have some definite accountability. The other thing I have is that there's also been some question on whether the grant money should be in the capital fund or the operating fund, because there's a couple of cities out there we check with, Tecnol and Bellevue, I believe, and they have this money in their operating budget. So that's something I'd like to clarify, whether it's an operating or capital budget item, fund item. Sherry, do you have anything else you'd like to add?
On this subject, I'll really brief history. I've been around Black Diamond for a long time. It isn't a stormwater grant, but it was a different grant. It was a grant for a road that was supposed to connect the Eagles Hall with Roberts Drive. That money for that road was granted to the city at least two times that I know of. And as everybody here knows, there was never a road built. And so that was one of the things that perked up my ears right to start with. That it seems to me like when we have a grant, we accept the grant, we ought to sort of have some kind of idea what's going to happen with it. So I went and looked for a little history in the city of Black Diamond, and I found a few things that I thought were a little bit interesting. One is, I guess this is probably last year, and we purchased a different evacuator truck, but back on January 8th in 2015, there was a placeholder for evacuator truck for $61,380.72. We did purchase something else, but that was at least an item that was in the capital improvements fund for the stormwater, and you know, that was at least something concrete. And then there was February 6th, 2014, there was $125,790.71, a DOE grant matching fund that was the engineering for a project that was a water retention areas coming actually down pretty much in that same area along beside Ginder Creek that was supposed to clean up the road water off of the Roberts Drive 169 intersection area and have a settling thing. And there was engineering on that, and I put these notes here. Where is this engineering? When will the project be a go? Where did the money go? I know that some of that money was spent, not all of it. And then, let's see. So On November 21st, I thought this was interesting, on November 21st in 2013, there was a public hearing about, I think it said stormwater, but maybe it might have been something, it was a proposed stormwater management program plan. And here is Development Director Williamson was noting, this is the fifth year of the stormwater management plan, and what is before the council is the annual update. This plan sets out the course of action for the next year. And it was Mayor Pro Tem Benson who opened that public hearing, and then there's several statements from several citizens, basically echoing what Mr. Williamson had said. And I thought, oh, that's interesting. And then, so on November 4th, 2010, this is going back further, there is a resolution 10-17-16 authorizing the municipal stormwater capacity grant agreement. And there's a list here of money, pretty much at the front of it, pretty much the same as we have. That grant was for $81,076. But when I get into it, as a part of the grant itself, there's these tasks. There's a sheet here with these tasks, and it starts task one, project administration and management, limited to 10% of the total, and there's $3,000, just like there is for our $50,000 grant. And then implementation and management of stormwater program, and there's $51,000 there. Reconfigure the city's warehouse and building to house equipment, $20,000. Purchase of hazardous material storage facility, $7,000. And then when I look a little further into it, it talks about these tasks, what is to be included in them. Instead of just giving us the whole blank list like we got this time, they have actually marked in under task two, this implementation and stormwater needs, they have marked in certain ones like public education and outreach, illicit discharge, detection and elimination, activities to support programs to control runoff from new development, pollution prevention and good housekeeping. But it isn't every one of them. Annual reporting and developing and identifying the barriers to stormwater runoff problems. Establishing and refining stormwater utilities and making a rate structure. And there's a note here even about the TMDL on Lake Sawyer. And then it goes on. And I'm going, well, at least they refined this so that we could see what exactly they wanted to do. And I'm just thinking for the public, this is really good, because if they know what, then they can go back at the end of the year and come back to us and say, well, did you complete this task or that task or what was going on? And when I went through, there was another note that I thought was pretty interesting. When I went through our scope of work that's on the table for us this year, I noticed one of the things that I noticed in here that really pricked up my ears was under scope of work, there's a C there, and after it reads other things off about other governments, it says, and any interested individuals or groups should be apprised of what the developments are with this ecology money. I thought, well, that's interesting. So citizens can require, it says it right here, citizens can require to know what the money was spent on. So I thought that was pretty interesting. So I don't know if that adds anything to our discussion here, but anyway, I thought it was interesting.
Well, I think it does add. I mean, it specifications for how it's used can be done, has been done. And I think it's only good for the public as well to know that
where the money's going. That's, they're seeing where that money's going and what it's for. There's something tangible there. They, at the end of the day, there's something they can see or touch or.
Right, and I do remember the reports back. I remember that business about this, about the about cleaning out the storm drains and building a calendar for that cleaning to happen on, how often it needed to happen, and all that stuff.
Okay.
What they found.
Given the city is basically spending the money and going back to DOE, and the fact that this doesn't expire until earlier next year. I feel it prudent to keep this in committee for now until we get some more clarification on some of the budget issues that we have that we brought up, and see where the there's any specifics that can be put into the budget.
That sounds good to me, Chairman Weber. I'm wondering if there's, it seems to me like there could be input still from growth management also on the subject, because we really don't have specificity that we need online. So I don't know if we got it totally from them or if they still have it open, but we'll find out.
All right, so moving on to item number two.
Hold on, is there a chance for us to comment on that? Or is it just you guys?
The public comment is the first thing that comes up.
So when it says discussion of resolution, that's just a discussion between you guys? Yes or no?
Well, it would be at our discretion, I don't know.
Yeah. I,
do you have something to germane?
Yeah, I do.
Good.
Okay. Sure.
We're a little bit working against the clock here,
Okay. So
we have another half hour. We have another half hour, and that's it.
All right. So look, I'm Brock Deedy, and the question I have is: you just now sent this, kept it in committee, but you don't really have. Brian had a couple of comments of what you're going to try to get to pass it along, but maybe it would help if you had a set of ideas or questions or something, so that you can list them, and when they're finished, then you can move them onto council. But right now it's so vague that who knows what you need to go on. You know, we don't know, that nobody knows, and maybe you don't even know. So I think it would be prudent to write down a list of, hey, we need this, we need this, we need this. And when we get those things, then we can move it on. And then everybody knows why it's being delayed, because those three items didn't get answered. Does that make sense?
Sure.
It's ridiculous to just pass something on with no goal in mind. It just doesn't make sense to me.
So the third item on the agenda is discussion of vouchers, voucher procedures, and vouchers removed from March 17th City Council Consent Agenda. So there was, at the last council meeting, the vouchers were pulled from the consent agenda. There was question on whether the process, the documented process was there. And there was one specific voucher. I guess I'll back it up. We had some discussion in past committee meetings that talked about what was important and what was involved with vouchers. We talked about our city code, 3.23, that there's requirements in there. We talked about the bars manual. City uses covered some items in there. Look through the Black Diamond financial policies. And so as far as the vouchers go, there's not only just a process that needs to be double checked and documentation witnessed or seen, but there's supporting documentation that should be available as well for the vouchers. And I know Councilmember Morgan, you had tried to visit with the city staff.
I had sent this email. I finished looking through the claim checks that have been put onto our next budget finance committee agenda. At this time, in order to finish my review, it is necessary for me to see the supporting documentation. I think the staff member who can help me with this is May Miller. I would like to come in on Monday, April 4th. Please call me and let me know when it is a good time for me to come in. The answer that I got back was from Mayor Benson, and it says, we do not have a meeting time available today.
When did you send your email to her? When was that?
I sent it to her last night. It was on her desk when I got there this morning.
So.
It's possible. I listed my phone numbers, and so that they could get a hold of me. And I haven't gotten a phone call, and I have received no email from anybody about that. Other things, yes, not that. So I guess I could be ever hopeful. What I kind of was showing. You want to see these are short. What I was showing, and I wanted people to see it. This is what I'm looking for. I'll leave a couple examples from our business out here on the table. This is like the files that we have of money owed and how we track that in the business, so that when the government agencies come in to audit our books, we can show them what we are doing with our money. And I did that because it's easy for me, obviously, just go down to my business. We're thinking that we may need to go and track at some other cities how they handle their vouchers systems. I know that I've seen people checking these vouchers at public meetings with regularity that I've gone to, from other governments. So.
And it's more than just a general listing or an itemized list. It's actual original.
Right. And I think I'm going to just, since I'm on this kit right this second, I'll just interject. These voucher pages that we get from the city of Black Diamond, I've been at budget meetings over the last 4 years sporadically, some before I was on budget committee meetings, some before I was on the council, and some since. I have never seen a balance, ever, on the voucher pages. A balance against a fund, a department, a general ledger balance, ever.
It's kind of a surprise. So out of the March vouchers, there was one specific one that we had discussion on, or that I had questions on, and it happened to do with the $10,000 that was spent last year. Well, yeah, I guess it was spent last year, and it just finally made it to our council this year. It was listed as July 1st, 2015 to August 28th, 2015. So I have a couple of email exchanges that I had questions from former Mayor Benson and Ms. Miller. These are from the mayor. If you don't get your back from your staff.
Are you talking about this DKS Associates one?
Yeah.
So it's on page 6 of 19, and it's 43-294.
Yeah, that's the one. Okay, so first message was, actually I sent this to Meg Miller, the finance director, and I here's a copy of Mayor Carol Benson and Councilmember Morgan. Subject is March 17, voucher questions. Hi, Meg. I would like to verify that voucher item number 432-80 for $32,911.19 to Clary Chevrolet. This for the item number 9 expenditure under the Public Works Fund found on page 57 of the 2016 budget. Since $50,000 was budgeted, there's a surplus of $17,088.81. Has there been any discussion or decision on where that money may be transferred within the Public Works Fund? The other question is with regard to voucher item 43294 for $10,000 to DKS Associates. Excuse me. I understand it is for comp plan updating, but can you explain why we are paying in March of 2016 for an item listed as July 1st to 2015 to August 28, 2015 services? Thank you. Her reply is, like most, very short. So for 43280, the balance was to be used to add equipment boxes to and safety equipment to the vehicle, which that's fine, makes sense. Number 43294, which is the DKS voucher, says we were in negotiations with the sub-consultant that hired DKS for some work that was not authorized, this settlement amount. Carol Benson. I would have a question. I think she might have meant with the contractor, since Berger Avon was the one that hired DKS as a subcontractor. And so I still had some clarifying questions. So on Tuesday, March 29th, I sent a note back to Mayor Benson. It says, Mayor Benson, regarding the voucher for DKS for $10,000 that was removed from the consent agenda on March 17th. Two items. Please provide information about the contract settlement with DKS. And her response is, we did not have a contract with DKS. Berger Abam, our consultant, hired DKS as the traffic consultant for the study. We agreed to pay $10,000 for their study since Berger Abam did not pay them. We also wanted them to finish the work for the comp plan, thus the settlement. A new contract will be presented at the April 7th meeting. Number two, her second question, please provide a contract amendment so that the council can consider and approve the settlement and authorize payment. There was no contract amendment. The contract was part of the Berger Abam contract, which we terminated several months ago. It is my intent to discuss this issue at the Budget, Finance, and Administration Committee meeting on April 4th at 6:30. As always, finance staff will be welcome to participate in the committee discussions. Staff will not be participating in your meeting, but I welcome you to take part in the discussion at the April 7th meeting. So, one of the things I still have issue with, and there is another email that I sent back to the mayor, which I haven't got a response yet, that I sent yesterday. I have an issue that there's no explanation why the city is paying DKS $10,000 when they are a subcontractor to Berger Abam. I don't understand why Berger Abam wouldn't be paying their subcontractor that $10,000. So there needs to be some more explanation. I don't know if the contract that they're wanting to present for first reading on Thursday night covers that $10,000, or if it's a new contract on top of what they would need to finish the comp plan. I don't know.
Yeah, to me it's clear as mud also.
Yeah.
And I see some puzzle books out there in the audience.
So, you know, it's those kind of questions that why that I, that particular voucher was held, and until I hear otherwise, I, you know, I think it stays held until we have a clear understanding of why the $10,000 was paid when it was, and there's question of you know, how the account, the contract was canceled. The mayor have authority. So. Now, as I alluded to earlier, we talked about the voucher process and how there are certain requirements that are met, that need to be met before they can be paid, prepaid before council approves them. There's an ordinance, 08850, that provides the city the ability to prepay the vouchers before council approves them at the meeting. There's requirements that are supposed to be met, and this is also goes along with what's in the VARS manual that the city is following. And so under 3.23030 of the city code, it says the finance director, city administrator, city clerk, or mayor of the city of Black Diamond are authorized to issue warrants or checks and payment of claims before the city council has enacted to approve the claims upon only upon meeting all of the following conditions. So these conditions are: the finance director shall cause to be submitted to the city council for approval a listing of all checks and warrants issued in payment of claims at a regular scheduled public meeting within 1 month of issuance, and shall provide for the review of supporting documentation by the city council. And this supporting documentation is
what I was asking for.
Definitely one thing you were talking about. Second one is finance director, city administrator, city clerk, and mayor have each furnished a fidelity bond in the amount of $50,000 for the faithful discharge of each of their duties. The third item is that the council has adopted contracting, hiring, purchasing, and dispersing policies that implement effective internal control. Now, as far as the council, if upon, this is 3.23.040, if upon review by the city council some claims are disapproved, the finance director and city administrator shall jointly cause the disapproved claims to be recognized as receivables, and to pursue collection diligently until the amounts disapproved are collected, or until the city council is satisfied and approves the claims. So. Yes, ma'am.
And I want to say those budget rules were written quite a long time ago, when the city budget was not as small as it would have been before we added Lake Sawyer, but the city budget was considerably smaller. And I would imagine that the bond that's required has to do with how much money they're handling over there. And so I would also like to see that reviewed.
So what I did also, I have so in relation to this, after we had our last committee meeting, I sent this note to Mae Miller and CC'd the mayor. And the subject is ordinance 08850 information. As a follow-up to some questions raised with regard to Black Diamond ordinance 08850, I'm requesting documentation and or documented processes to satisfy the three requirements of Black Diamond Municipal Code 3.23.030. I am looking for more than just the generalized, quote generalized, Black Diamond financial policies. Since the city council is responsible for approving expenditures, I would like to know that all the necessary requirements are met. Thank you. Mayor Benson's response is, you seem to forget that there are three branches of government, legislative, executive, and judicial. Your job is to pass legislation and mine is to enforce it. This request is totally outside your purview. I certify that all processes that satisfy the three requirements of Black Diamond Municipal 3.23030 have been met. All right, so I disagree, wholly disagree, that that's not within the budget committee's purview. It deals with the budget. And as a council, even not just the budget, the general council, we're all signing off on these vouchers, on payments. So I would like to know, more than just verbal, oh yeah, we're good, that, you know, that there's some documented processes. And to date, I haven't seen anything past what's on the city side as far as the financial management policies, which, you know, when you talk about the council's adopted contracting, hiring, purchasing, and dispersing policies that implement effective internal control, I want to see those. I would like to see that documentation. I would like to be able to read through those processes. So when I talk to people and they come to meetings or, you know, out in the public and they say, well, you know, how's the city spending our money? Are they wasting it? Are they, you know, is it kind of a shell game? Is there, you know, I'd like to be able to say, no, we, you know, I firsthand have seen documentation, and I think, you know, go through, look at the processes to see what they are, to see that they're effective. So that was kind of the response on that. Yes.
Chairman Weber, I also wanted to add that one of the things that I noticed when I was doing all that heavy work on the new council rules and looking at what the responsibilities of municipal council members were, municipal council members and mayor, what struck me really strongly is the really strong wording about the council's fiduciary responsibility. And I'm thinking to myself, fiduciary responsibility, that means that when I look into some citizen's eyes and they ask me about how the city is spending the money, I might know that the city is spending the money fine, but I mean, I might think so, but when I look into their eyes and they ask me that question, that isn't fiduciary responsibility. Fiduciary responsibility says that I know that I have seen and witnessed with my own eyes. And there's another place in there where it talks about being able to follow the invoice from the vendor, whatever the invoice is, follow that invoice through to who ordered it in the city, who is using it, what it's doing in the city. And it says in there, not just council people, it says any individual taxpayer needs to be able to follow the invoice to who's using it and where it's being used. And if we look at the newspaper and see some of the abuses that have gone on, well, they've gone on for a long time in a lot of places before people got caught, and they got caught out pretty badly. And I think that behooves us to take care of our stuff.
So since we kind of talked about, you know, so the processes and what we expect,
mm-hmm.
Talked about some of the mayor's correspondence. I'm going to hand out to you. Okay, so what I have that I just handed to Councilmember Morgan, is a draft of a resolution that I think, or should I say hope, would clear up this issue that we have with not having a documented process available or provided for us. So, Councilmember, I'll read each section, and then if you have any input.
No, if you want me to take.
Take notes.
Okay.
Or if you have any thoughts on it, scribble notes on here.
Okay, cool.
Okay, so this is an unnumbered resolution. I'll get that later once it gets submitted. So it reads, a resolution of the City Council of the City of Black Diamond, King County, Washington, requiring council pre-approval before payment of all claims and calling for expedited compliance with the requirements of RCW 42.24 and Black Diamond Municipal Code Section 3.23, payment of city claims or obligation. Whereas Black Diamond Municipal Code Section 3.23 authorizes the finance director, city administrator, city clerk, or mayor to issue warrants or checks in payment of claims before the city council has acted to approve the claims only upon meeting all of three conditions. Agree?
Mm-hmm.
Whereas RCW 42.24 authorizes payments before legislative approval only upon the enactment by the council of four policies and procedures that are substantially the same as those required in Black Diamond Municipal Code Section 3.23. Whereas in response to a request from the chair of the council's Budget, Finance, and Administration Committee on February 16th, 2016, the mayor wrote that she is the public representative who approves the vouchers. And this is Exhibit A that's attached to this resolution. I'll kind of paraphrase this since there's a couple questions that aren't with this. So this was back on Tuesday, February 16, 2016. I sent this to Mayor Benson. It was a couple questions we had from our early committee meetings. And my question that I'm referring to is number one, under February 8th meeting, are the vouchers approved by a public representative outside of a budget committee meeting? The answer was yes, the mayor. Well, I did take that as two members, as it states in the code. So, the next whereas in response to a request from the chair of the council's Budget, Finance, and Administration Committee on March 29, 2016, requesting documentation that the three requirements of the Black Diamond Code had been met, the mayor responded that, quote, this request is totally outside her purview. And I've attached that as Exhibit B, which I also read earlier. So, whereas RCW 42.24 and Black Diamond Municipal Code 3.23 make clear that the procedures for the approval of vouchers and the approval of the vouchers are a council responsibility, and whereas Black Diamond Municipal Code 3.23.030, letter C, states that one of the conditions that must be met for claims may be paid prior to council approval as the quote, the council has adopted contracting, hiring, purchasing, and dispersing policies that implement effective internal control. The council is not identified, and the mayor has not provided any evidence that this requirement has been met at any time since Ordinance 08-850 adopted Black Diamond Municipal 3.23.030 in 2008. So that refers back to the resolution
right. And
what I discussed earlier.
Right.
And whereas BDMC 3.23.030B states that one of the conditions that must be met before claims may be paid prior to council approval is that the finance director, city administrator, city clerk, the mayor, and the mayor have each furnished a fidelity bond in the amount of $50,000 for the faithful discharge of each of their duties. The mayor has not provided any evidence to the council that this requirement has been met. And whereas the council recognizes the payments of claims prior to council approval can help enable the efficient operation of the city, reduce the risk of late charges, and enable the ability to take advantage of early payment discounts. For this reason, the council supports this practice, but only if all legal requirements are met. And whereas, in order to continue to authorize the payments of claims prior to council approval, the council must verify through proper documentation that all of the conditions of Black Diamond Municipal Code 3.23.030 have been met. Last part.
Yeah, and I'll just add that I made my comment on the second, whereas on this page, the second one down, okay, about to cover the amounts the city's actually now handling.
Okay. So to finish this off, now, therefore, the City Council of the City of Black Diamond, Washington, does resolve as follows. Section 1. The Mayor and the Finance Director are not authorized to prepay claims until the Council has determined that all three conditions of BDMC 3.23.030 have been met. Section 2. The Mayor is requested to provide documentation that will allow the Council to verify that all three conditions of Black Diamond Municipal Code 3.23.030 have been met. Section 3, the Mayor is requested to prepare and submit for Council approval recommended contracting, hiring, purchasing, and disbursing policies that implement effective internal control. The ending is that we'll ask by the City Council of City of Black Diamond, Washington, at a regular meeting thereof. So like I said, this is a draft resolution. There'll be plenty of time to discuss this. I will see what kind of comments or possible adjustments the Vice Chair has on this. I'll get it submitted to the city and submit it through proper channels and proper procedure for the rules. And it will come back for first reading to the committee where public comment can be given on the potential resolution. And Councilmember Morgan, I would ask you if you'd be interested in being a co-sponsor on this resolution.
I will certainly be interested in being a co-sponsor.
Thank you. All right. So with that being said, I'm going to wrap up that item. Next, we're going to move on to...
I got one quick question or comment about that, if that's okay.
Sure.
A couple of statements were made about, I emailed this, and I texted this, and I sent an email yesterday about doing a meeting with May today. You know you have these meetings. They're scheduled weeks in advance, maybe only dated. But, geez, set a date. Say, hey, when can I meet with these people? And get in there and meet with them and then answer your questions that way instead of making a whole resolution. Just to answer the question. All you gotta do is it just makes sense to me that if I was to email somebody and say, I'd like to meet with this person, can you set up a date? And then at that date, go there, ask all these questions, get it worked out instead of fussing and fuming about it all the time. It just seems like things go on and on and on and nothing gets accomplished. Right?
Well, and that's what the
it's all about face-to-face communication.
That's what it was.
And they turned you down for meetings.
Yes, regularly.
Have you asked them to set a meeting date?
I gave Tammy half inch of it.
Of what?
Of me trying to get meetings about various different things, including some touched on this stuff, I think, but I'm not sure I went that far forward.
It's
definitely a problem.
Okay, so we're gonna move on. Thanks for the comment, Rob.
Mm-hmm.
We're gonna move on to item number 4, which is discussion of upcoming audit review. There was an audit review scheduled. It was supposed to be scheduled for, I believe, 3:00 on Thursday, April 7th. We got a notice that was canceled and to be rescheduled. I'm not sure who canceled it, whether it was the city or the auditor's office, but I guess maybe we'll have an update at our next meeting. I hope to be able to attend that audit review when it gets rescheduled. So move on to number 5, so we're a little bit late. Step this up. Discussion of committee work program and future agendas. So this is, we've already got our next meeting is already scheduled for April 18th at 6:30. But Vice Chair Morgan, is there anything you would like to bring forward or discuss?
Well, there should probably now be some follow-up on some of these things, I think. I would hope. And so that will probably, I don't know how long it will drag out. But we'll try to deal with it as we go.
Okay, so budget resolution would be one thing. See, follow up on that.
Right, the resolution.
Obviously, we need to get more information on what's going on with this DKS contract.
Mm-hmm.
Find out that everything was followed correctly. Make sure things are paid properly.
In the $10,000,
We could also, I'll look into it potentially, because Brock's pretty diehard about coming to our meetings, so we can't get you an answer to what you were mentioning earlier. So I'd like to add
Brock's questions?
Kind of a budget update to see where we're at.
Okay.
So, this first quarter. One thing that you mentioned earlier, talking about never seeing balances, another item that we could potentially look at, if given time, is management monitoring fund balances. That would kind of go along with what Brock was talking about as well.
Management
and monitoring of fund balances. Is there anything else, Vice Chair?
I think that looks like enough, doesn't it?
Past our time, or start time for the next committee meeting, so I'll call this meeting adjourned.
This is how.
we policies in order to be in compliance with the government.